This is Risky Business News, a podcast with daily cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by Pfingst, the makers of the much-loved Pfingst Canary. We start today's show with some news on Elon Musk. After the EU and five other countries have formally condemned Russia for the hack of Viasat, a US telecommunications provider that was providing satellite terminals to the Ukrainian military, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said on Tuesday that his company was also targeted, albeit the hacks haven't been successful so far. In a tweet on Wednesday, Musk said that Starlink has resisted Russian jamming and hacking attempts so far, but that Russian efforts are ramping up. As for details about Russia's hacking attempts, with Starlink being one of the DoD's official military contractors, such information is most likely highly classified and most likely under TLP Red until the end of the war. Moving on to other stories, InfoSec journalist Brian Krebs is reporting that the US Drug Enforcement Agency is investigating a breach of a web portal the agency uses to access sensitive information on US citizens and which also aggregates data from 16 different federal law enforcement databases. Krebs said it learned of the breach after receiving a tip from KT, an individual who is the administrator of the Duxbin portal. Pro-Russian hacktivist group Killnet has also taken credit for a wave of DDoS attacks that hit Italian government sites earlier this week. Targeted sites included those for the Defense Ministry, the Ecology Transition Ministry, the Parliament, Italy's National Health Agency, and several high-profile private organizations such as Italy Automobile Club. Besides Italy, Killnet has also carried out DDoS attacks against government websites in the US, Estonia, Poland, the Czech Republic, Romania, Moldova, and several NATO members, primarily because those countries showed public support for Ukraine. After the attacks in Romania, the country's computer emergency team has published a list of 11,000 IP addresses that Killnet had used in past attacks, which may be of use to many defenders around the world. In US government news, the CIA said on Thursday that it selected a new chief information officer in Joseph Rich Bake, the Record reported. Prior to his new role at the CIA, Bake previously served at CISO for the American Insurance Group, or IAG, CISO of Wells Fargo, and principal at Deloitte's Global Cyber Threat and Vulnerability Management Practice. Also this week, the countries of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance have published another joint cybersecurity advisory, this time on the need to secure managed service providers, which have often been the target of some major hacks in recent years. Kieran Martin, former head of the UK National Cybersecurity Centre, also published an article this week with the IIEA, describing how the EU's fragmented approach to cybersecurity and patchy capability of member states is creating several problems in terms of combating state-sponsored threats at the continental level. In terms of tech news, Google also held its annual I/O Developer Conference this week. Just like it does every year, Google teased security and privacy features coming to Google and Android products later this year. These include new phishing and malware protections for Google Workspaces, more users auto-enrolled in Google two-step verification process, a new security and privacy settings page for Android 13, a new ad center to let users control what ads they see online, a new search tool to help users control their online presence, a new virtual card system for safely storing payment card data and using spoofed temporary card numbers on shady e-commerce portals, and a feature in Android 13 that will automatically delete your clipboard history after a short time to preemptively block apps from seeing old copied information. The representatives of several tech companies were also at the White House this week in a series of meetings with US officials on the topic of software supply chain security. The meeting took place following a call from President Joe Biden last year to the US tech sector in the aftermath of the SolarWinds hack, with President Biden requesting that tech companies have better defenses against software supply chain attacks. Led by the Linux Foundation's Open Source Security Foundation, or OpenSSF, this coalition of tech companies includes the likes of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, Cisco, and many others. According to a Politico report, the companies have agreed to contribute hundreds of millions of US dollars as part of a plan to shore up the security of open source software. Besides funds to support open source, many companies like Dell and Google will also set up special teams to write the code and tools necessary to protect the FOSS ecosystem. Also this week, a team of European academics have also published an interesting study where they detailed how they found that certain third-party tracking companies are collecting information on what users type into web forms in real time, even if users never submit the form. The researchers said they found this behavior on almost 3,000 US websites and more than 1,800 EU sites, likely in violation of the GDPR. Microsoft has also issued a warning yesterday, telling companies that the recent May 22 Patch Tuesday security updates might be breaking authentication on some servers. Moving on to malware and threat intelligence news, the Conti ransomware group has denied recent reports that linked it to the Black Basta ransomware operation in a message posted on their leak site. Because the Conti source code and their offensive playbook have been released in the public domain in recent months, it wouldn't be a surprise if Conti was right in their message and none of their core members were associated with the Black Basta group. GoDaddy's security team also said on Wednesday that it uncovered a massive botnet of hacked WordPress sites that were infected with a piece of JavaScript code that redirected users to malicious or scammy websites. The company said that more than 6,000 websites were infected in April alone, while security firm Onif said that it detected more than 15,000 infected websites in the same period, along with another 4,000 in May this month. This week, the US Department also sentenced two cybercriminals to prison sentences. The first suspect is a man from Texas named Marcos Ponce, who pleaded guilty and received 5 years in prison for buying 38,000 PayPal credentials in a scheme to empty and steal money from the compromised accounts. The second suspect is named Gleb Ivanov-Tolpintsev, a 28-year-old from Ukraine, who received 4 years in prison for running a brute force botnet and selling access to hacked PC accounts. As usual, towards the end of the week, we also had a couple of malware reports. For example, Proofpoint published a report on a phishing campaign that used COVID-19 and World Health Organization teams to spread Nerbian Rat, a new Go-based malware strain. In addition, CrowdStrike said it discovered a threat actor deploying a post-exploitation framework named Iced Apple on hacked Microsoft Exchange email servers. French security firm Exatrack also published an analysis of Tricephalic Hellkeeper, a new passive backdoor targeting Linux and Solaris servers, which can use TCP, UDP, or ICMP packets as remote triggers. In addition, South Korean security firm S2W published a report on the history and evolution of Black Card Stealer, an info-stealer strain advertised and sold on Russian cybercrime forums. In terms of APT reports, Malwarebytes said it saw APT-34, a suspected Iranian espionage group targeting members of the Jordanian government with Saitama, a new type of backdoor Trojan. Cisco Talos also published a report on a recent spear phishing campaign carried out by the Bitter APT, which Talos said is now targeting users in Bangladesh, a change from the group's usual victims. The final payloads in this campaign are a new Trojan Cisco Talos calls ZXXZ. And last but not least, SecureWorks has published a report on a group the company calls Cobalt Mirage. SecureWorks says this group operates out of Iran, blurs the line between financially motivated attacks and espionage, and has even engaged in attacks that deployed ransomware against US-based organizations. And now, we'll listen to Johannes Krugham from the SecConsult team presenting a bug in Konica Minolta printers that took 3 years to fix because the vendor had to manually patch each affected device in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Everything started in Vienna in our vulnerability lab, where Werner Schober and I did a small research of Konica Minolta printers. Those devices have touch panels where you can manage your print settings. So for example, if you want to print or to scan or something else. So of course we checked every setting if there's something suspicious or can we extract some information for further exploitation or something else. And there was this one setting. In the utility menu, there was another button called utility. And when we clicked it, something like a website opened. It turned out that Konica Minolta is using Chromium to display this page. In the developer consoles under the tab Sources, there is this other tab called File System, and there you could add folder to workspace. So for example, you can add the folder /etc to the workspace. Of course, we tried to open the shadow file, which worked. Later, Konica Minolta confirmed to us that Chromium is started as root. We then identified the file admin-pass, which contains basically the password of the admin of the printer, and it was stored in plain text in the file. So accessing the file system was one thing which was possible with the sandbox escape. Another thing was that we created a basic website in the same network as the printer with basic upload functionality, and then the basic website appeared in the style of the printer somehow, so there was some override functionality of the printer, which was good for us. And then there appeared a scan button, and when someone scanned a file, it was automatically uploaded to our server, to our fake server actually. So why did it take 3 years for this responsible disclosure? So one of the reasons is the missing central patch management. So Konica Minolta had to send its technicians to every single device in the world to patch it manually with physical access to the device. This leads us to the second reason why it took so long, the COVID-19 pandemic. So we were basically isolated with lockdowns and home office, and flights were cancelled and so on. Nevertheless, Konica Minolta handled the case very professionally.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.